and strut around. Find me a dog. Everybody cares if I'm not at the park.
Sydney Film Festival is now on sale. There's over 350 screenings of 288 films from 62 countries over 12 days in 10 venues. From the magnificent State Theatre in the city to the Ritz Cinema in Randwick, there's bound to be a film and venue just right for you. It all happens from June 7 to 18, and you can buy your flexi passes or single tickets right now at sff.org.au. City Film Festival, proudly sponsoring 2SER
107.3.
On May 27, you may well have to change your plans if you don't want to miss the 2SER Bob Dylan Birthday Marathon. 2SER's celebration of all things Bob will go for 8 hours and feature news, reviews, interviews, the Bob Dylan quiz, and all the Bob songs that fit, starting at 8 p.m. and going through till 4 in the morning. The Bob Dylan Birthday Marathon on 2SER, May 27, from 8 p.m. 2SER 107.3. Stories, ideas, music, and Bob.
It's a hard rain's are gonna fall.
Yeah, that's right. Are you fired up and ready to go? You're on the Crystal on 2SER 107.3. Got a huge show for you this evening. Turnbull struggling to get it up. First poll since the budget. Failed to convince swingers to get with Malcolm. Stop being such a snowflake. Morrison calls the big banks a bunch of winters as the debate continues about new banking levy. Queensland Premier is smoking reefers. Palaszczuk does a dirty deal with Adani that's more offensive than blackface. And Berejiklian does a bad thing with bus drivers. No means yes, as the Libs break their promise not to privatise Sydney buses. All that and more. Stick around, you're on the Gristle. Yeah, that's right. You're on the Gristle on 2SER 107.3. 2SER.com. Big shout out to The Wire. Fantastic hour, half hour, should be an hour, of current affairs. Joined by me, the pundit taker, we've got Starvin Marvin.
Yes, starving here.
He's, now, Green's branch stacker doesn't really roll off the tongue, does
watermelon
it?
Watermelon works.
Watermelon.
I have no association with the Greens Party. I don't know what you're talking about.
We might get you moved just a little bit closer to the mic. Tintin.
G'day, g'day.
Fighting Irish.
Mate.
And warm, very warm lettuce.
Giggity.
Now, first story off the block this week. It seems like Turnbull thought he would reach escape velocity from these poor polls, but instead he slammed into the brick wall that is his lack of credibility. The budget has not led to a bounce. It's led more to a sag, like old men have in their butt. Doesn't look like he has pulled off the masterstroke, does it, Warm? Warm lettuce, is he, you know, are the knives out again for poor Malcolm?
Do you know what I think this reminds me of? He made such a desperate attempt to say, look, I'm different, I'm just like Labor. But just like when you're with a woman that never wants to be with you again because she's interested in your best friends, and you try to change overnight and say, no, I can be just like him. Look, nobody's is this buying it.
Is this based on like a...
Do
actual,
we need you?
Is this based on something that actually happened?
No. I think, you know, I think it's clear... watermelon that Turnbull has been swiping right far too many times on political Tinder. Where does he go from here, given that this return on his centrist investment isn't paying off?
Well, I guess in terms of where he's at, he doesn't actually know anything. I don't know what's...
You need to come
like
right
talking.
Up close to the microphone, yeah.
You sort of like... Yeah.
Sorry, this is live radio. Keep on talking.
I know, rattled. basically he promised something and he hasn't delivered. He got put in this position.
That's really close to the microphone.
It's really close to the microphone here. Is that close enough?
Yep, yep.
Yeah, that's right. Basically how you need to be.
I'm so rattled here. Look, I can't do all this. I can't. Can you just go?
Sorry, we have rattled against Tintin.
Well, I really want to know what Tony Abbott thinks about all this, what he has to say. I mean, he's been a little... Has he been so active the past few days?
He's saying that we're in the weak government club. Did anyone see this during the week? Starving Marvin?
No.
Oh, you missed out.
I must have missed
that. It's a very organised show this week.
Well, in case you missed it, the loyal foot soldier of Malcolm Turnbull, Tony Abbott, was absolutely...
He's a bit keen.
He was absolutely scathing this week. No, I should say, I've just realised I have done a dirty on Storm and Norman. Are you there?
good evening, Sydney.
He's back. Sorry, I thought you might have been thrown under a bus.
That's coming later.
Yeah, you wouldn't be aware in the inner city here, in the inner west.
Views from the Northern Rivers on Turnbull's master stroke, or is it just the stroke?
Yeah, no, I think warm lettuce was pretty close to the mark. The problem with the budget isn't that it doesn't pass the pub test, it's that it doesn't pass the consistency test. Oh. I mean, Malcolm Turnbull used to drive around in a debt truck, for God's sake. But now we've brought it back. This time it's the good debt truck, and it drives around just throwing out wads of cash at people.
Yeah, I know. It's like he's driving around a casting couch without an axle. Now, something else which has obviously been going down like a lead balloon was Scott Morrison's credibility economically. The big banks have reacted angrily to the assertion that that they can afford to pay an almost $6 billion levy in total. And Morrison's come out and called them a bunch of winders. Starvin' Marvin, is he tapping into the Australian vernacular here?
The zeitgeist, do you think?
I was thinking the shitegeist, but yes.
Well, you know, this tax is, was it 6 basis points? 0.06%.
Why can't they just talk about units of a percentage?
It's a bugger all tax of their liabilities. They're making gazillions of dollars. Surely they can afford this little amount. It's less than happens on a fluctuation. And you'd know the fluctuations of the markets every day of the week, surely.
Well, indeed. And warm.
Surely. I won't call you Shirley.
Warm lettuce. Morrison came out and there were moves from the government to make the bank's decision-making process around how they pass on rate rises and so on more transparent. But it's not going to change the fact that they're just going to pass on this levy because there's a lack of competition.
Look, I mean, that's the whole idea of the levy in the first place. The ACCC came out and said, look, there's nothing we can do. So it probably will get passed on. But to put it in perspective, not all of that's going to go through to home rates, probably maybe half of it. So you might see your interest rates go up a little bit, but less than you would if the government lost their AAA credit rating, which the banks, by their own admission, say would be 10 basis points. So the irony being, if they didn't do this and they lost the surplus in 2021, you'd be paying even more on your interest rates. So let's tax them.
Really, really quick pop quiz here and maybe some views on the Northern Rivers. What is a basis point for your listener that maybe doesn't follow the business news? It's how much of 1%? Anyone? It's 1/100 of 1%. Yeah. Just in case you didn't know, I hate it when people talk about stuff and I don't know what they're talking about. Now, finally...
I think I said 0.06. Does that help you?
You are muddying the waters. Now, team, what does this say? Views on the Northern Rivers... Well, no, in fact, Fighting Irish... Views from the Irish wing, views from the IRA here about how Scott Morrison...
Some might say, others might have gone to prison, but that's the point.
Well, talking about going to prison in a political credibility Scott Morrison doesn't seem like he's got a lot of credibility left in the bank. For a man that had very little to begin with, do you see him lasting out the term of the Turnbull government as treasurer? Or do you think there are... alternatives in the wings, possibly?
Well, I'd say there's actually probably not many alternatives, to be honest. And that's
Tina. There is no alternative.
There is literally no alternatives. Like, they've gone through everybody they could.
It's like the town bike position. Everyone's had a go.
What about Matthias Cormann?
Oh, Matthias Cormann.
Arnold is already in a very firm position as finance minister. And
he's in the wrong house.
Well, the thing with Matthijs is, why would you, you know, unless you actually... Well, also, he's not exactly a Turnbull guy either, so he is and he isn't. So, you know, and Julie Bishop gave it a good go in opposition. She got... It was not her kind of cup of tea, which is each their own. Gareth Evans had a good go at an opposition as well, and he did not.
Gareth Evans, you mean former Labour? Wow.
Back then, aren't we?
He gave it a good go and was not successful. So, you know, it's not about intelligence; it's about the
it's about the numbers. It's about the numbers.
And there's nobody else really to choose from.
Finally, views on the Northern Rivers about what to do about Scott Morrison. Just before we go to a quick break.
Leave him there. I think he's doing a great job. But I don't understand. I mean, if you want to raise some money out of the banking industry, why don't we just apply a levy to cheque accounts? I mean, who has a cheque account?
Cheque account,
day?
Yeah, you're right.
Historical
you're
anomaly. Right. I think
hasn't
we should just
been
tax
done
them
before?
Out of
well, look, I am well in favour of that because the only people who have cheque accounts vote for the Liberal Party. Look, we are going to go to a short track. This is Mr. Fingers in the Till. A.K.A. Mr. Fingers the Juice.
Very relevant.
And coming up after the break, we're going to be talking about what's going on with the Adani and that bloody bus strike. All right, stick around. You're on 2SER 107.3. Yeah, that's right. You're on the Gristle on 2SER 107.3, 2SER.com, and listening maybe by podcast. Check out our new brand spanking-ish website. You can download all your favourite shows and get stuck into what 2SER, this great station, has been doing, going on about for the last little while. And next story, Adani Coal Mine. Now, the Queensland Labor Party wants to dig a bloody big hole in the ground to sell coal to China. All those ratbag social justice warriors seem to think this is a problem given it's going to cause global warming and everyone from Indonesia and the South Pacific is going to want to move here. Team, what is going on here? What are the issues? And why should Gristle listeners care about this thing in Queensland, which we all know is a rogue state?
All right, well, I reckon the main reason our listeners are going to care is because they're probably all in the millennial generation, or as I like to call it, the smashed avocado generation.
The smashed avos and the avonauts.
The hard truth is we're going to be one of those generations that really cops it from climate change. And this isn't just any old hole in the ground. This is a massive hole in the ground. The coal that comes out of this is going to be equivalent to 130% of our entire country's emissions. So if we build this thing, it's like we're doubling overnight, and then another third again, which is crazy. But none of the banks want to back it because they know it's a bad idea. So the Queensland Labor government, I'm a Labor guy, basically sold us out and agreed to give them a $340 million royalty forgiveness program to basically get this thing over the line. I think that's atrocious. They're giving them free coal to make it happen.
Doubling what overnight? I mean, if you don't replace, if you replace brown coal and other less clean burning coals with this better cleaning burning coal, surely that will result in less emissions.
Well, that
so
would...
if you don't give the Indians this coal, what coal will they burn? Because they will burn coal.
Well, that would be great, except for the fact that all of the geological surveys for the Galilee Basin basically say that it's a high ash, high sulfur coal. And Adani's own documents that they tendered to the Queensland Land Environment Court also said that they're exporting low quality coal to
but
India.
But it's higher quality coal.
No,
than
it
the Indians
isn't.
Have.
No,
wait,
it isn't.
Wait,
the
wait,
Indian
wait.
Government admits it is just as
Why
low
don't,
quality coal.
No, they
there
don't.
Is. They do. They do.
Right, okay.
I can forward anybody.
I'm
going to
jump in here
document.
And say I think the solution is we burn former German Chancellor Helmut Kohl.
Oh yeah,
because
good
then,
idea.
then we can power what we really need to power in this state, which is public transport. Now, we are privileged here on the Gristle today to have a representative of the Rail, Tram and Bus Union who sounds uncannily like Storm and Norma. I just don't know what the chances are here. Stuart Prince, are you there?
Good evening.
Now,
is this the Ray Hadley show?
It is. It is. Are you able to explain why women should keep wearing short skirts and why the hell there was a bloody bus strike the other day and I couldn't get to my bar skimpy at 4? Please.
Ray, I'm really glad you brought this issue up. Transport services are very important to Sydney, and you notice how important they are when they aren't there, which
yes.
is why everyone gets so upset when there's a bus strike. But let's just look at the argument that's been put forward by the Minister, Andrew Constance, to justify his decision to privatise bus services. Now, this guy, he says it's all about customer complaints. Most of the complaints, according to the government itself, are about buses running on time. So Constance says that there are more complaints about late-running buses in the city than there are about late-running buses in the suburbs. You following, Gristlers? The buses in the suburbs are run by private companies, so therefore,
yes.
under this logic, all you have to do is let the private companies run the
yes.
city buses and everything will run on time. But there's one thing wrong with this logic. The reason city buses run late, Gristlers, is because of the freaking city traffic.
Yes.
Now, I don't know if Andrew Constance has ever travelled on Parramatta Road or Victoria Road in peak hour, but maybe as Transport Minister, he should get out a bit more and see what's going on in the real world.
I know.
The
look.
The idea that a private operator can just come in and part the traffic like Moses parted the Red Sea is just preposterous.
I know.
It's stupid. It's nonsense. So instead of blaming bus drivers for the service, he should look a bit closer.
He's getting fired up.
Look at his own incompetence and try to
You heard it here first from the Rail, Tram and Bus Union, of course.
I've just got a quick question.
Well, hang on there. I mean, you know, the kind of issue, of course, is that, you know, whenever people around town are riding Andrew Constance, he's always very late. Now, Starvin Marvin, you got any thoughts on this?
Yeah, I've just got a quick question here, Mr. Secretary, or what is he? Oh, yeah.
Mr. Prince.
Now, Chris Preston, I think, was in the news today. He was actually asleep through most of the proceedings yesterday. Is that true?
He was a bit unwell.
I don't think anyone knows what you're talking
about.
Having
an early night.
Now,
the strike that was called was because someone was asleep, wasn't
that
right?
We are going to go to Kroger's right hand. It's just come in. Thankfully, his bus rocked up on time. Now, you are known as a number one fan of Andrew Constance. I know you have a poster of him in your bathroom. Tell us why this strike was a bad thing.
Well, I have no idea. I just see the word privatise and it's triggering me. Constance might not be as constant as the buses, but like, look, so this word privatisation, if it wasn't for the ability for government to privatise stuff, you wouldn't have the ability for government to hypothecate the revenue to pay for all the things that people enjoy.
But it goes to the
infrastructure, all the infrastructure. Well, how are you going to pay for it? You're going to raise taxes?
Issue government
bonds.
Are
you going to spend less?
Zero interest rates.
You're going to be crying poor because people are going to be raising, like, how much it costs to go to university, or like you're going to be paying more Medicare levies. Like, we've got to pay for stuff.
Look, I don't think it's very, 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 very quickly. Last view from RTBU. Is all this a bit moot because we're going to have driverless cars anyway and driverless buses, and in which case, sort of, it won't really matter because they'll be brought in by, you know, either a private company or by the state.
Was that a question?
Yeah, it was. Maybe I should have given you a little bit more prior warning about that.
The question is, should we worry about public transport because it is all redundant? I think that's sort of crystal ball gazing, and I think people do rely on public transport now.
And it's really important that we get it right, and it's really important that we provide people with good quality services. There
that's,
you go.
That's true. All right, we are going to go to a quick track now. It's great to have you on, Mr. Prinz, and we will let you back in the basement, and you can release Storm and Norman to comment on our next stories after break, which is on Checking Your Privilege and Donald Trump. This is Anthony Naples at Ease. Stick around. You're on 2SCR 107.3.
From Anthony Naples. Drop me a line anytime, BenjiB@bbc.co.uk.
Yeah, that's right. You're on the Gristle on 2SCR 107.3. Some weird sounds on that one. That was Anthony Naples at Ease. Huge panel this evening. We've got Storm and Norman, Starvin, Marvin, Stale Cal, Tintin, Fighting Irish, who's fighting Warm Lettuce in the corner. Greco-Roman Wrestling. They
love it. We're just hanging out.
They love it now.
And Kroger's right hand.
And now Greco-Roman Wrestling might be on the proverbial chopping block at the University of Melbourne. But it's been issuing some check your privilege notices, this has happened. Apparently, they've been sending out notices and information that white men should be checking their privilege and should be acting less like white men and more like insert your favourite acronyms here. Now, warm lettuce, you know, as someone who loves the acronym alphabet of trans everything, isn't this what this country needs?
Mate, like a bullet in the head. I'm all for diversity. I don't think anybody can doubt that's a regular listener of this station that I'm all for diversity. But this report,
as a woman,
a
you
lot
love
of people,
diversity.
Even left-wing people, the wrong way for basically demeaning men and talking down to women. It said, and I quote, "Men should learn how to talk like women and not speak with absolute confidence." And then it said that women should stop second-guessing their intelligence. Now, I would look at that and say that those are some pretty broad-sweeping statements to make, that all men are only saying things because they're trying to be macho, and that women are always shy and meek. I think that's sexist to both genders.
Yes.
And
yes.
I personally think if you want to encourage more engagement in tutorials, it should be based on the individual and not on what's between their legs.
Indeed. Now, we might ask the only woman in the panel, Stale.
One job. All right, I'm ready for this.
Stale Kale. I mean,
is there a token woman in the house?
There is. Stale Kale, you're into white privilege in a big way. You know,
all about it.
What do you think of this turn at the Australian unis to start following their lead of their US campus cousins to see safe space anarchy? Is pro, con, good, bad? Thoughts on it?
Look, I haven't been briefed on the safe space aspect of it. However, what I can say is that Melbourne Uni is known to be wanky, and this is just standard Melbourne Uni discourse.
Oh,
so
sure. That's a scandalous.
I expect nothing less from Melbourne University.
I meant to start that statement by, as a New South Welshman, woman,
as a former Tasmanian and now New South What am I? A New South Welsh woman. I'm a woman. I'm a Welsh woman.
Welsh woman.
Yeah, that's what I want.
Just say, you've got to start this statement with, you've got to just start it with as a. It doesn't matter what you say. I have to say as a. Okay, then keep
going. I've just been mansplained how I should question.
Oh, yes. Sounds like someone needs to read that memo.
But I'm mansplained with my legs closed.
This is getting awkward. Views in the Northern Rivers, you know, you love a bit of white shite privilege up there.
No, I agree with Dale Carl. I think there's plenty of privilege to go around at Melbourne University, and I have no problem with them sharing a little bit of it.
Now,
How about that guy from the RCBU? I thought he was good.
Oh,
we should get him on more often.
Oh, he was. He can personally power 30% of our energy needs. So much force and energy there. Now, team, do we see this, you know, bleeding into political parties? Some of us here are Labor activists. Tintin, getting fired up. You might need to speak really close to the mic.
Look, there's a lot of this is interesting. There's one comment here about the use of, quote, Australian banter. Now, I want to know what constitutes Australian banter?
Yes, yes.
And why is it particularly the domain of white men?
Yeah, yeah. I've been slagged off by many, many people of many races and you know, it isn't just stale pale males that think I love spending my weekends at ARC. It is plenty of people. I have cop gay abuse even though I'm not gay. So it's not only white men. Now, final point here, just before we go to Gay Panicstagram for those guys. Donald Trump, Kroger's right hand. Have you been following this? Special, is it counsel or prosecutor? I was getting mixed up.
I think you've got to start at the start of the week. There's been a lot that's happened since our last show.
Hands up.
The FBI director was fired.
Yes.
Okay, and then he shared secret intelligence with the Russians, highly classified
that's
intelligence,
right.
And now there's a special prosecutor. You can't skip the other bits.
It's just hard to keep track of everything. It's like, it's just insane, isn't it?
Yeah, counsels, prosecutors, who's left? I'm not...
Yeah.
He did also say that he is he thinks he's the most persecuted politician in history.
Bless, we should just
I think
have a
Nelson Mandela would probably have something to say. Yeah. Or Sun Tzu Chi or pretty much anyone.
Or bloody King Edward I or whoever had the hot poker up his fundament back in the 1200s.
I tell my look, I had a few predictions.
Pretty persecuted.
I don't know if I have any magical skills, but my first prediction was that Donald Trump would win. And this was happening.
That
this
is true.
Happened. This happened.
We
I told
listen
you all
more
this.
To you, Starkel.
Second prediction was that Patrick Swarcy, who was a big Point Break fan, he was going to, you know, appoint Patrick Swarcy to the head of the FBI.
Even though he's dead. I guess he's a dead man walking if he's appointed to the FBI anyway.
Patrick Swarcy is spectacular, so I'm okay with it.
Yeah, my predictions.
Can I say the latest rumor is he's actually going to appoint Lieberman, who is a politician, to head up the FBI, which I don't think has ever happened
He was a
before.
Blue dog Democrat.
Okay, those. Warm lettuces. In words that aren't mine own, extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence. Comey's come out, the former head of the FBI, and made an extraordinary claim. In what way is it not incumbent upon him to bring to bear the evidence? And why does he need does he need to wait for a subpoena? In what way? And what I said last week. In what way that I said last week is this not an extraordinary politicisation?
I don't think Comey said anything.
Comey never demanded a subpoena. In fact, he's delivering all of the evidence at a Senate inquiry on the 24th in just 5 days.
But then he's come out with this memo.
Look,
Punditaker, I think I know the answer to all this.
Yep, go on, there.
Yeah, I've been analysing this quite closely and following it in a lot of detail. And I think that Donald Trump has a problem with Russians. He goes Russian into half-baked visa bans, Russian into incomprehensible tweets full of spelling mistakes. He just needs to stop Russian.
Boo. Final thoughts. How long do we think Trump has got? I want a quick number from everyone. Starve Marvin.
Seven.
Seven.
What's the question? How many?
How many months?
Hours?
Here is a question. Here is a question. How many months or years has Trump got left?
November, he'll be gone.
November.
He's got Kissinger on side. He's fine.
He's fine. Stale Kale.
I've got a 4-year term. I'm going to say 2 years.
2 years. Tintin.
No, all these questions is 42.
Fighting Irish.
Made. We'll see how it goes.
We'll see how it goes. Warm lettuce.
July.
July this year?
I'm the most optimistic.
Oh,
it's coming.
You're massively
Get
bossy.
Get ready for President Pence.
Get ready for President Pence. Views in the Northern Rivers.
Yeah, I won't put a number on it, but I will say that he'll die in office.
He'll die in office. Yes, yes, because, because Trump said exercise is bad for you. Look, stick around for Gay Panic. That's all we have time for at the moment. Taking us out at the moment is going to be Hannah Stranger. You're on 2SCI 107.3. Thanks for listening.